And I said, God, where am I? He said, you've entered into my room of counsel.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscom. This message was recorded on January 6, 2020, and is titled, The Counsel Room. Grab your Bible, and let's join Steve in the message.
I've given you access to the counsel of God. And I said, that's weird. God, you got to tell me something. You got to give me something. So I know that my coffee wasn't too strong this morning. Show me. He said, go to Hebrews 12 and Revelation 4. So I did. Hebrews 12 is written on the very dome of the rotunda of our United States Capitol. Therefore, Hebrews 12, 1, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Revelation 4, I turned the book, and after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Revelation 4, 1. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald, and around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. I said, dang. You let me come in here? He said, I want you to come in here. I'll tell you what to do. I'll give you my strategies if you'll just listen. I said, yes, sir. I'm humbled. I'm honored, and I'm extremely overwhelmed. Extremely. I just want you to know tonight, there's nothing special about me. I got as many errors on my record as any 10 of you in this room. I asked God the other day, I said, holy moly, Lord, why did all of a sudden you give me an idea and start growing in it and run around telling people, and Lord, there's smart people everywhere. He said, I looked the earth for one I would send, and said, whom shall I send? And all of a sudden you said, here am I. That's all I did 25 years ago. Lord, whatever you want to do with me, I'll do it. We didn't have any idea we were coming to Muleshoe. When I got saved, we didn't know we was coming to Muleshoe. We thought we were going to heaven, and we ended up here. How's that happen? So that brings me to my next thing about the county to county, because tonight, I think there's a lot that needs to be established here. And I think there's things that need to be established in heaven. Now. Right now. So the next thing I got to do is repent before y'all. I'm not going to speak on Robin's behalf, but the two of us are one. We came here 18 years ago by the direction of the Lord. I don't know how many other preachers have ever been sent, but not very many have been sent anywhere. Most of them just showed up because that's where the job was. That's just the truth. We were told, I was told, to come down here. We waited, took forever, and there's two big skid marks all the way from Canyon to here. There's a 90-mile skid mark. It's still out there. Why would you go from being a lady eagle to a canyon eagle to a lady mule? A lot of neat stories about all that, and we got a lot of cool memories about all that. But my confession to you tonight is we came here, a young guy that didn't know how to preach, argue with God on my second night. Told him he got the wrong guy. Gave my testimony last week. I don't know what to tell these people 54 more times. God, you done brought me down here living out of cardboard boxes. My horses are in an old makeshift pen kicking each other. And we're living in the middle of this cotton-picking sand dune. My kid hates school. I'm really mad at you. You got the wrong guy. And I said, by the way, Lord, I can't do this. And he said, good answer, because I can. So that's how we've done it now for 18 years. But in all our endeavors, as I went to the jail week after week and found my spot as a jail chaplain and we ministered to people, I didn't go to jail just to save people who got in jail. I went to jail, and she'll tell you, I went to jail, and Sheldon and Debbie went, and we've all went, and Alan and I did Bible studies in there forever. We wanted people to get saved, but I wanted the drug problem in Bailey County gone. And I knew if you could catch them, I could save them. And by golly, we saw God do amazing things, didn't we, Alan? We saw lots of it, didn't haven't we? We've seen lots of it. And we wanted to help our community, and we've worked with our sheriff's department, and we've had Bible studies in our courthouse, and we've prayed on our courthouse steps, and I never have asked permission. I just told them we were coming, and we just did what we felt called to do. And we got in a battle here in Bailey County. And a lot of people know, and it's kind of a pivot point for me, and I don't like to belabor the subject. It was just an extremely stupid move, but we accepted the enemy's weapon for our children to be sold in our city and our county. Alcohol has no place in the next generation. I don't care. I'm not making it a heaven and hell issue. I'm just trying to keep your kitchen table together. And so we fought it. We fought it with our bodies, we fought it with our mouth, and we fought it with our money. And we fought it three times until the government of this town changed the rules and the boundaries finally around to where we finally lost because us country folks didn't have a say. But here's what I did wrong. I threw my sucker in the dirt. And all of a sudden, my wife and I started looking for someplace else to get. Y'all didn't know it, but there's been a time or two that we've throwed them keys up there hoping somebody'd run under them. There's been times when I've asked God, can I please get out of here? I done made up my mind that this town didn't like me. And I was going to make sure I didn't like it. We've lived here for 18 years like visitors. Like visitors. Always thinking we were going somewhere else. because we felt like we really weren't wanted or necessary around here. Now, we don't feel like that in this place. And now I don't care. COVID-19 did me a favor. Gave me a chance to stay home. You see, the last 5 years, I've been running off. I've been doing 50 horse sales a year when I only really didn't do about 25. We bought us a fifth-wheel camper, so even when we wasn't doing anything at home, we'd go park it somewhere else. I'm just having confession, because that's exactly how the church has been told to act in this earth. Like, you don't belong here. You're just a visitor. That's all fixing to change because of COVID-19. I had a chance to stay home. We did a little stuff around our house to change the atmosphere a little bit. Thanks to old Jonathan back there, I bought about 18 truckloads of pipe, and we're roping like crazy now. I love my home. Wanted to sell it once. Couldn't hardly give one away in Bailey County. Now, because of the land entrapment, I could probably sell my place really high. There's people want to come over here now. You live in the wrong state, this looks like paradise. But you can't have it. Robin and I live there. That's the place where our grandkids come hang out. That's the place where my children come over to eat. That's the place where me and her get up in the morning, saddle up a pretty darn nice pair of horses and go out there and run a pen of steers whenever we feel like the wind ain't blowing 860 mile an hour. We lived in our town, a town that has two hardware stores, two grocery stores. Next thing you know, you look around, you know everybody that walks in any of them places while you're standing there. We got some fantastic neighbors live around us. All of a sudden, we found peace. We enjoy our home, in our town, in our county. So I repent for some of my immature way of acting. I repent for not being willing to plant my feet where God sent me. He has never sent me anywhere else. I repent for getting my little feelings hurt just a little bit because we seem to lose one battle, but I'm coming back to win the war. And I ask y'all to forgive me if I ever preach like a man who wasn't going to stick around. Because as for me and my house, I'm driving a stake in the ground today. I ain't going nowhere. We're claiming this county for the glory of God. And we're going to exercise the strategies that God has given me from the council room. And we're going to return this county to the government of God. We already operated our house under the government of God. And we're going to handle things. So we've been sharing with other people now, and here's what we're going to do. And I want you to know this, and I want you to find hope in it, because there's a lot of people becoming very hopeless as the day draws to an end. But right here in this fellowship, some of us guys are getting together in the next few days. And we're drafting a proclamation of what we expect out of our county officials, what we expect out of our schools, what we expect out of the church, and what we expect out of God, and also what we're willing to do. We're going to bury those proclamations at strategic points on the borders of our county, all 880 miles of it. And we're going to pray over it. We're going to commit it to God. Also in the process of drafting up a list of questions pertaining to the Bible and constitutionalism in original intent. You see, the Constitution in original intent has over 32 references to the Bible. So the Bible and the Constitution clump them in each other perfectly. There are no contradictions. There are no variations. And so we're drafting questions. And very kindly, in love, I'm going to ask for appointments with all our county officials and city officials, if you would have a moment, to sit down with me and discuss these questions so I could see where you're at on these questions, so that I can bring that up to my church to see if we want to keep you hired or not. I wouldn't let anybody else work for me without a resume. Why would you let your county officials? If you're too ashamed to answer the questions, well, maybe you got something to hide. I'm not going to stand around and worry about how everybody in my county is having church. You have church however you want to have church. But I'm just telling you today, if you really want to serve the Lord, serve God, serve your country, serve your family, then please, by all means, would you please start preaching this whole book? Would you please see if God would invite you to the council room? Would you please do this in the power of the Holy Spirit? Would you please quit protecting your man-made institutions of religion? Would you please quit protecting your job? Would you please just come on and stand up and man up? But if they won't, and if they don't want to, that's fine with me. And if you want to go participate in some of that, knock yourself out. But I'm telling you right now tonight, if you're hanging around a place that can't decide whether this Bible's true or not, God's not in it, and you should leave. Did everybody hear every syllable of that? Because if you think I'm afraid of anybody from the Pope on down, you are absolutely mistaken. Because I know where my help comes from. It won't come from the head office. I got a higher government than that. I got one higher than Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. It's the truth. We got to tear down the Asherah poles of idolatry. Man-made religion, man-made atmospheres, and we got to start assembling with intent of fixing our inheritance every day, all day. That's the strategy. So Robin and I are staying, and we're going to get busy. And we're going to walk this out so we can share it with other people. And I can tell already it's a very contagious idea. And it came from God. God's been given strategies in this country for a long time. Here the last few weeks, I've been talking to God a lot about 1776. I said, Lord, it just looks like 1776. We're not battling against our Constitution. We're not battling our Bill of Rights. We're battling tyranny. Tyranny from godless leadership. Tyranny from greed and perversion. And I said, Lord, show me George Washington. I mean, one of the coolest mornings, some of y'all probably seen it on Coffee with the Colonel. But here's a really cool story. George Washington on Christmas Day, 1776. And they were going to go cross the Delaware River. And y'all have seen the picture, but the story's better than the picture. And they're going over there. There's some German Hessian army over here, and they're going to go attack them in the middle of the night. And so there's coming a snowstorm, and it's getting cold, and there's ice on the Delaware, and they're moving all these people across. He only has 2,400 soldiers, and sometime in the next week to 10 days, 1,200 of them are going to leave. The Revolutionary Army is whittling down to absolutely nothing, and this thing's just about over. He gathers up the boys and heads out in the middle of the night, but he had spent a day, and I forget which one I meant to look again and see which one of them guys that he was counseling with, and they were having counsel. They were seeking the Lord and having counsel. And the whole time they were talking, he was writing on pieces of paper, liberty or death. One of them fell to the floor, and the guy there with him in the room, he picked it up. And it simply said, liberty or death. George Washington had stood on Psalms 91 from day one. He was the man who couldn't be killed. There was an Indian chief, come found him later, that actually shot him 17 times and knew that he was a man who walked in the Spirit of the Most High because he could not be killed. He walked in the power of God. He heard God's voice. He prayed. He prayed against enemies. He prayed for direction. He prayed for providence. And that day, providence came. The guardianship of God. And they crossed the Delaware River. And when they got over to fight the enemy, it was 8 o'clock in the morning and the sun was up and the plan had done got messed up. We were supposed to sneak up in the dark. And now it's 8 o'clock in the morning. We're going to get killed if we go over there now. We're going to get killed if we turn around and go back. Liberty or die. Let's roll. And it began to snow so bad you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. It's blistering cold. I'm telling you, any of you people think you've been suffering because of what we got going on. Half these guys didn't have shoes. Their feet were wrapped in gunny sacks. They left a trail of blood anywhere they went in the snow. The ones who had shoes, they were broken in half. They barely had clothes. And they began to go and fight this battle. Well, these other geniuses over on the other side, they done decided they didn't want to get out in the cold. So they're all huddled up, and they said, shoot, it's Christmas, and there's a snowstorm. Ain't nobody going to come bother us today. Lo and behold, here comes George Washington and the guys. They kill them, a few of them. They take almost 1,000 of them back home with them. They're up for 48 hours. Without food, without sleep, they're cold, they're drenched, they take their cannons, all the enemy ammunition, and they get it across that cold, icy Delaware River for me and you. God was in it. He was telling them guys what to do, and they had guts enough to do it. God was with them. And when the people saw the victory, within the next week or two, 15,000 people enlisted to the Revolutionary Army. I said, God, that's a cool story. I said, what do I do with that? He said, well, one thing you can remind the people if you think you're outnumbered. Because here's another statistic you may not know about 1776. 25% of the people wanted to fight the Revolutionary War. 25% did not want to go into war. And 50% didn't care. That 50% probably was church people. I said, God, what do you want to show me here? He said, you got to go back 40 years. That's when I started the revolution. I went back to 1737. And the colonies had come to a place where their churches were dull, mundane, ritualistic, and dead. And it was being reflected in the immorality of the next generation. Now, do I need to repeat that, or have some of you lived that? And God saw fit to bring men to the colonies that would preach under the power of the Holy Spirit. And men like Jonathan Dickinson, men like Jonathan Edwards, men like Samuel Davies, men like George Whitefield, who made 9 trips to America that preached over to 8,000 people a day. And on his final way out of here, 23,000 of them showed up one day as he preached, and they preached a true salvation. John Wesley. How many of y'all know who John Wesley is? How many of y'all are still part of his organization? How many of you think he would enjoy that nowadays? They preached a true salvation where lest a man would die to himself and be raised in Christ. You're not born again. Heaven is not your home, and the power of God doth not dwell in you. that all sinners can come and be forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, for the blood of Jesus has covered the multitude of sin. Come and repent, all of you, and be born again, raised up to new life. But take ye the cross of God and carry it. That's how they preached. I can sound just like them because I got the same Holy Ghost in me. They preach freedom. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. We have come to America for freedom. And they breathed life. And the church began to grow and revival came to America.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, The Council Room. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cal Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.